The deer gun season opens at noon Central Time on November 6th. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. My guest this week is Wildlife Division Chief Jeb Williams. Jeb, we issued about 69,000 deer tags this year, a little over 3,500 tags more than last year. However, we have some recent news with an EHD outbreak. Explain.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Mike, that's kind of hot off the press and a worthy topic of discussion. So for the first time since 2011, the department is offering refunds for individuals in 12 deer gun units in southwestern part of the state. It's been just about 10 years now since we saw our last major outbreak, and it's unfortunate, and so we want to offer that opportunity for people to assess their individual situation of where they're hunting, have a chance to visit with particular landowners or other contacts in their area to just to kind of find out to the degree of intensity of the outbreak within their particular area before they decide to take us up on a refund option.
Let's clarify, Jeb. EHD is different than chronic wasting disease. What are some of the symptoms from EHD?
So that's a good point, Mike. Now, one of the things with hemorrhagic disease is it's a virus, and it comes and goes based on different environmental conditions out there. The host of the virus is a variety of different things. Could be mule deer, could be pronghorn, could be whitetail even. Most whitetail, however, don't have immunity to it and do end up dying within a very short period of time once they contract that virus. And the virus is spread, it's moved around by a little midge. And so when these environmental conditions are right in that particular part of the state, it's able to move that virus from critter to critter, whether that midge bites a cow and then happens to bite a white-tailed deer as well, and then infects that individual critter. And most times, unfortunately, the white-tailed deer die from that. So that's why we see a high mortality loss with white-tailed deer, not so much with mule deer and pronghorn. We do see a little bit occasionally with those two as well, and then even a few livestock losses as well in severe outbreaks.
Okay, and once we get that hard freeze, that kind of ends the EHD outbreak.
It does, because of course it ends the life cycle of that midge, of that particular little insect. And so the earlier in the fall we can get those continuous hard freezes, the better.
Okay, let's move on to white-tailed deer numbers statewide, Jeb. How are they looking?
Well, they were looking very good, and especially in the southwest part of the state and western part of the state. But again, when we talk about hemorrhagic disease and we talk about the environmental factors associated with outbreaks, one of those is high deer numbers or higher deer numbers. And we've been seeing higher deer numbers in the western part of the state for whitetail for building for the last handful of years. And then even in the eastern part of the state, we've finally started to see some recovery and some rebound of white-tailed deer numbers. Not probably to the extent that we have in the western part of the state, but numbers have been slowly improving in the eastern part of the state.
Okay, let's move on to mule deer numbers.
Mule deer numbers. So our spring mule deer survey looks at how mule deer got through the winter. And in the western part of the state, mule deer were gifted with a very mild and nice winter. And so our survey showed and indicated that mule deer got through the winter pretty well. Currently, as we speak right now, we are flying the fall mule deer survey, which looks at reproduction. Looks at how mule deer did reproductive-wise and how many fawns hit the ground, those types of things. And we're anticipating that we're gonna see pretty good results. Anytime you have mule deer that go through a mild winter, come out of that winter in pretty good shape, obviously they're going to be in better body condition and better body shape going into the fawning season. So we anticipate that there's going to be pretty good numbers out there.
Okay, last year is a lot different than this year as far as weather and crops and everything. What do we need as far as to keep that deer population going in the right direction?
Well, it's just like any other wildlife critter out on the landscape. We need habitat. They have, every critter out there has certain needs throughout the year that they need. And if they don't have those, over time, that's not going to bode well for population wise. Certain parts of the state, we still have very good deer habitat on the landscape. Other parts of the state, we don't, in comparison to 15 years ago, we don't have that same habitat on the landscape as we did to be able to support the same number of deer. So it's It's habitat based, always has been. North Dakota, however, is, as we all know, we can be either gifted or we can be punished by some pretty severe winter weather. And that definitely makes a difference as far as what we have on the landscape with wildlife. But if we have that habitat base in place, it also affords the ability for those critters to get through that winter.
Jeb, do we still see that enthusiasm for deer gun hunting in North Dakota?
Yes, we do. We see it in a couple different ways. We see it in application, the number of people that are still interested in applying for deer licenses in North Dakota is still very high. Enthusiasm, we also see it in the form of frustration. When people aren't getting a deer license and they have to wait a period of time to get a deer license, you know, we still hear from people about that, and that's understandable, but I also take that as enthusiasm. The day that we don't, that our phones don't ring or our email doesn't light up with people with those concerns or with that interest tells me that we don't have enthusiasm. And we know North Dakota, when we talk about deer hunting and the culture associated with deer hunting in North Dakota, there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's a lot of interest out there that people want to be a part of that. And we recognize that there is frustration in place when people can't have that. Now, it gets into a bigger conversation though too, is that if you are an individual that is very particular about where you deer hunt. And I understand that situation, because a lot of times it gets down to where you have access to deer hunt. Access is an issue, there's no doubt, when it comes to deer hunting. And so if you have connection to Grandpa's farm in a particular unit that's very difficult to draw a deer license on, and don't necessarily feel like you have the ability to move around to other units, neighboring units, where you have a better chance, the frustration certainly gets a little bit higher. But one of the things we talk about this a lot, Mike, when we do webcasts with elk and moose as well. One of the ways that you can increase your odds significantly by just being involved, if you want to be out there hunting and participate in the family event associated with deer hunting and be active in the field, applying for an antlerless tag is not the worst thing in the world. We fully understand everybody wants that buck tag, but even when we're issuing 100 and close to 150,000 licenses, not everybody had that buck tag. It's not practical, it's not possible. And so if people want that experience and just to be feel like they're a part of that hunt, looking at other options is certainly something to consider when you're out there.
Okay, what can deer hunters expect this year?
Well, I think a total opposite fall of what they had last year. Probably the craziest fall that I guess that I've participated in, that I've seen since I, you know, born and raised in North Dakota, was last fall by, you know, hands down. Just really crazy weather pattern. It's not very often we talk about a good chunk of row crops being off before pheasant season opens in North Dakota, but this year we actually saw that, and there's going to be a little bit of standing crop around probably when deer season rolls around, but definitely not a lot. One of the things with the standing crops last year, while it maybe presented some challenges, obviously, for a variety of individuals, whether hunting, you know, agriculture-wise, that type of thing, it definitely probably had some benefits as far as wildlife and deer over winter time. I mean, just having that extra habitat, extra food source on the landscape, probably wintered a number of deer, obviously, in lots of acres that would normally not be there. And this year, that's like we talked about before, it's going to be quite a bit different. And so from wildlife perspective, it was probably a beneficial thing.
Jeb, anything else deer hunters should be aware of?
Well, I think we need to briefly talk about CWD, Mike. Anytime we're talking about deer and deer hunting now in North Dakota, that's an important topic. CWD, of course, on the landscape in North Dakota. We've added a few units over the last couple years. People need to be aware of it, and we have really good information on our department's website, on our department's chronic wasting disease portion of our website, some good videos, good information. Also, anybody that's hunting in a CWD unit receives a letter from the department helping them understand the rules and regulations associated with how to take care of things once you're in that area, what you can and can't bring out of that unit, drop-off locations for sampling, those types of things. So I just wanted to mention that real quick because it's certainly a very important topic that we need to keep everybody educated about. So I really encourage people to get on our website and look at all the different resources that are on there talking about chronic wasting disease.
And one thing a deer hunter can do to help out our department is by turning in your sample at one of these locations.
Absolutely. The more participation that we receive from hunters, I mean, that betters our efforts as far as our sampling process. So, one of those things that if we can get people to drop off those deer heads at those testing locations, that helps everybody out.
And now is a good time to find your deer tag.
Absolutely, yeah. Finding that deer tag or not finding the deer tag is always better early on, not the day before or day of. That puts everybody in a bind and it leaves everybody pretty frustrated when we have busy staff and of course the deer hunter themselves is really wanting to get that license in hand. So anytime you can locate that, or even if you can't locate it, the earlier on in the year is better. So it's a good time to start looking for that and putting your gear together and being prepared.
A lot of great information, Jeb. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
For more information on the deer gun season in North Dakota, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov.
For Wildlife Division Chief Jeb Williams and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's program. We'll see you again next week.